It's another edition of Logical, the first regular podcast navigating the latest legal updates shaping the United Arab Emirates. Welcome, I'm Tim Elliott, and as ever, I'm with Ludmila Yamalova, managing partner of the Dubai-based legal firm HPL Yamalova and Pleskar. Ludmila, it's always great to chat to you.
It's great to be here, Tim, as always. Thank you.
Now, today we're going to look at recent changes to the UAE employment law. It's a topic that comes up very regularly. Now, these are changes introduced under Federal Decree Law Number 9 of this year, 2024. Now, these changes impact both employers and employees in quite important ways, I think. Ludmila, let's start, if you don't mind, with really a quick overview.
Indeed. So from a legal standpoint, let me just set the frame. So as you said, rightfully said, the Federal Decree Law Number 9 of 2024, it just basically amendments to our existing labor law, which is Law Number 33 of 2021. So there is the fundamental, the overarching UAE labor law. And so this particular decree is just an amendment to that. So it doesn't replace that law. It's not a separate law. It's just an amendment, a continuation of the existing employment law. And because of that, the amendments in particular are related to two articles in the main law, and those are articles 54 and 60. So this Federal Decree Law Number 9 of 2024 is not all of the UAE labor law. It's just it's a specific changes to the two very specific provisions in the current law, which remains to be active. And the focus on these amendments, basically on giving more time for claims for labor claims or employment claims, also speeding up disputes or resolution of disputes, and generally stricter enforcement for violations. So that's the amendments to these two provisions relate to these kinds of overall objectives. So speeding up the claims, resolution of the claims, allowing parties more time to resolve their disputes, but at the same time also introducing stricter and more stringent penalties for violation of employment laws.
Okay. I mean, a significant update to me seems to be the extended time to file an employment case. That kind of stands out.
And especially for me, because I've been in the UAE for 16 years, been practicing law here exclusively for all this time, and we've dealt a lot with employment cases. And it has always been the case under the previous law, the employment law, which was replaced by the current law number 33 of 2021. So it was replaced in 2021, became effective in 2022. But under both laws, what's called the statute of limitation to bring employment cases is always 1 year. Now, what is a statute of limitation? Statute of limitation is basically the period of time during which parties can bring disputes against one another related to the employment matters. So, for example, an employee is either terminated or resigns from a company, then the period sort of after which or during which they can still bring a case against the company. So that's basically the period that's called the statute of limitation. But that's the claims related to their employment. So, for example, an employee was terminated and received part of their end of service or part of their payments, and there was some agreement between the company and the employee for the company to pay off the fees over a certain period of time. So, and let's say something happens and it doesn't, the payments or the company does not make those payments or does not pay the end of service altogether. And we hear a lot of cases like that, in fact. So until now, the period to do this was just only 1 year. So 1 year is actually not so as long as it may sound. Now, the objective and the sort of the motivation behind the statute of limitation and this statute of limitation in particular was to give both parties some sort of sense of closure. So this is why, generally speaking, statute of limitation exists. It's just so that companies, for example, can move on and not worry about that 15 years down the road, employees can still bring a case against them. And equally so for employees, is like that the companies cannot come after them for beyond a certain period of time. So that's, generally speaking, why statute of limitation exists. And in employment cases, by virtue of what employment law and employment cases usually are, the statute of limitation naturally or logically makes sense for it to be much shorter. So, for example, if certain legal matters have much, much longer statute of limitation, 15 years, 20 years, 10 years. So in employment cases, because it's about employment, it's a much shorter statute of limitation, 1 year. And the logic behind it is just to allow parties to kind of move on, right? So, and this is why in the UAE as well, we have a specific labor court, an employment court, right? And why that is, it's just, again, that the objective of anything to do with employment is to make things move fast, to make it more efficient, because you don't want employees having to fight for the employment rights for years on end, because these people, this is how they make this livelihood is being earned by virtue of them working and earning money. So it's about people's lives, people's access to money in exchange for their labor. And this is basically why employment law is regulated the way it's regulated. And that's why you have specific authorities dealing with employment laws. And it's why you have now specific your court that deals with employment cases. It's just to expedite things, to allow people to resolve their disputes more efficiently and move on. So as part of that, the statute of limitation was 1 year. But I'll tell you, even from practical experience, I think it's a welcome change, because it makes sense why it's extended to 2 years now. I mean, we've seen enough cases to where, you know, I can tell you from our practical standpoint, it makes sense for a longer period of time to exist for parties to bring a case. This could be because, often, let's say when parties part ways, the company may have obligations to the employee and promises to fulfill those obligations with a certain period of time. And then one thing happens after another, and another promise after another promise, and by the time, let's say the employee realizes that, well, listen, it's been too long after promise, one broken promise after another, maybe such limitation will have run. So and we've seen cases like that. It makes sense that from the employee's standpoint, why they would be given a longer period of time. Also from the company's standpoint, to be honest with you, it also makes sense, because let's say a company parted way with employee, but it could be that the ramifications of that employee's sort of results or mistakes that they might have made during the employment may only show their results later. So it's, let's say somebody, you had a finance person that managed the company's books. And at some point in time, that person leaves, the company hires another finance person. By the time that person goes through the books and reads the books and understands, well, there were significant mistakes made, or maybe there were some even sort of embezzlement, claims of embezzlement. And obviously embezzlement is a criminal offense, but certainly in terms of compensation, the company can always seek compensation from the employee. And for these kinds of matters, it would be up to the labor court to resolve. So I guess that's, we're speculating. We haven't really seen specific reference from the government in terms of what motivated the extension of doubling of the statute of limitation. But from a personal experience, I will tell you that I can see from our many, many, many employment clients, the employment matters, how the parties would benefit from this longer statute of limitation. So in conclusion, with regards to this particular amendment, that's what this amendment is about. It's about giving parties a longer period of time to have the right to bring a case against one another in the context of employment relationship.
Okay. And another change focuses on appealing decisions from the Ministry of Human Resources, particularly those kind of lower value claims. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so as per the current employment law, and this was basically made possible by the law number 33 of 2021, which is the current UAE employment law, is just certain claims that are below a certain amount are dealt even more expeditiously. So they dealt even differently from other claims. Before this, the current law was introduced, that wasn't really, employment cases were not, there was no option to segregate smaller value claims the same way. as per the current sort of employment legislative framework, because there's a whole series of laws that were also issued in addition to the main employment law that made this particular sort of protocol, if you will, available. And that is, so smaller claims below 50,000 dirhams are dealt differently. So you don't take them to the court. So, and that's for the companies who are subject to the Ministry of Human Resources, usually companies that are based on the mainland. And the idea here is, if it's a small claim, 50,000 dirhams, it's about $15,000, right? I mean, it's a lot of money for a lot of people, but it's not so much money that, you know, for example, you could find a lot of lawyers that would be, that could afford to represent claims like this. And therefore, they should be, you know, if you're not going to be able to hire professional assistance in helping you litigate these cases, then these cases should, you know, logically be litigated in a more, perhaps a less formal way. So, and that's why the current system in the UAE is that for any cases that that are subject to the Mohre authority that are below 50,000 dirhams are actually being decided by Mohre, not the courts, but by Mohre. So what's Mohre? Mohre is Ministry of Human Resources and Amortization, which is, you know, previously was known as a labor ministry, right? Ministry of Labor. So, but ultimately, so it's an authority. It's not a judicial authority. It's a regulatory authority. So as per the current employment law, the this judicial authority or this government authority, so it's regulatory authority, is also given authority to adjudicate certain kinds of employment cases that fall below 50,000 dirhams. And the reason for that is to make it even more affordable, even more accessible for employees to be able to have their disputes regulated. So instead of filing like a formal case in the court, because Mohre is a regulatory authority, so it's not as formal, right, as the courts. And so, and the whole idea is that it's there to help resolve disputes. So claims below 50,000 are now being litigated by Mohre. And as part of that, you know, that's much more methodical. It's, you don't really need legal arguments and sort of involved legal submissions. And because of that, things happen much faster. Mohre decides a lot faster, and that's the idea. Now, under the previous law, it's you know, when you Mohre makes a decision, it wasn't, you know, and if you're not happy with it, what were your choices? What could you do? So in the past, you could, you would apply straight like the Court of Appeals. And so as per this new legislation, and the Court of Appeals usually is much more complex because it's, you know, it's three different judges and it's more senior judges, and you know, the Court of Appeals is usually quite busy, and so things would move a little slower. So I mean, as because it's more kind of the more substantive cases usually make it all, you know, to that level. So as per this new law, it's perhaps a little more procedural, but it's still very relevant that whenever you don't agree, those who don't agree with the Mohre decision, it could be the employee, it could be the company that don't agree with Mohre's decision, then they can appeal it, and they can appeal it to the court of first instance. So now instead of appealing it to the Court of Appeals, they appeal it to the court of first instance. So which in the way, the reasoning behind it is just to kind of help resolve smaller cases more quickly. So that's, you know, so after they have 15 days after the Mohre's decision to apply, and that becomes kind of the final, it's the final stage to which a case can be appealed. So, and again, reasonably, it makes sense. From logically, it makes sense because it's only 50,000 dirhams. So how much farther are you going to go? How much longer are you going to fight a case? So here you've got the Mohre that's supposed to resolve it just within a few weeks, and then you have the court of first instance, which again, because it's court of first instance, is supposed to resolve things much faster as well. So that's kind of, that's the other change to the current employment law, which again, more procedural, but I can see how it'll make a difference to a lot of the claims in terms of helping regulate them and to litigate them much faster.
Another point that kind of stands out is the increase in fines for labor violations. What do employers need to be aware of?
Yeah, so that's perhaps one of the bigger changes that I anticipate we may see kind of being put into practice in much more visible way, and that's fines on for violating different employment laws, aspects of the employment law. So the fines now range from 100,000 dirhams all the way to 1,000,000 dirhams so for certain kinds of violations. So think about it. So these are fines that are being placed on certainly the companies, but can also be placed on employees for violating certain aspects of the employment law. And the starting point is 100,000 dirhams. That's a lot of money. It goes all the way up to 1,000,000. And some of the violations to which these fines apply. And so this increase in fines, so the fines are much higher than they used to be. And in particular, this increase in fines is mentioned in the context of, for example, companies hiring an employee without a proper work permit, or even for failing to pay employees when a company closes. So these are the fines specifically in this amendment discussed in the context of companies doing something wrong. And I have to tell you, this is an interesting, to me personally, I think it may have a much, much broader applications, because if you just zero in on what's the violation we're talking about, and that's hiring without a proper work permit or basically working without a proper work permit. So as we know, there are a lot of companies here that basically sell visas, right? So we know there's whole companies that exist just for that, selling visas. And there's a lot of people here live just have, you know, having these kinds of, you know, bought visas. So they have nothing to do with the company. So in technical terms, that would qualify as an improper work permit. So you're not really issuing work permit, but you're not actually working for the company. So that is also, the law kind of embodies this specific violation. So as you can imagine, this might apply to a lot of people. And the idea here is perhaps the fines are so severe, between 100,000 and 1,000,000, that, you know, if there are any of those companies that basically sell visas, that these are the kind of fines that they could expect to face. So I'd say that's perhaps one of the most kind of notable amendments that can have much broader implications. That's a practice that the UAE government has been trying to kind of phase out. And in many ways, it's a practice that should be phased out, because there's so many other ways now to apply for a visa and to stay in a country legally. There's freelance visas, there's so many different ways. But when you are registered as an employee of the company, but you have nothing to do with the company, and the company is just basically selling you this visa, that would fall squarely. I mean, that's obviously improper in so many different levels, and that's basically what's embodied in this particular penalty. So I anticipate that was kind of perhaps the reason for why this amendment was introduced.
So it's a hefty jump in penalties. There are also new penalties related to emiratization, Ludmilla.
Yes. And so, this perhaps is something I haven't, at least in our practice, we haven't seen specifically, and that is companies trying to benefit from the amortization initiative. And we've discussed on a few podcasts already this amortization sort of initiatives and the benefits that come along with it. And the idea is to encourage UAE nationals to enter the private sector. And there's various benefits and subsidies that are offered as a result of these amortization initiatives. And now this particular amendment reflects sort of increased fines for any of those companies, or employees for that matter, by the way, who engage in kind of fictitious amortization practices or employment, to meet quotas. Because under amortization, I mean, there's different aspects of it. Some is just to certain companies, certain size must have X number of Emiratis, right? And then also under others, other amortization programs, is the companies can get benefits by hiring Emiratis. And so these penalties are being introduced, quite hefty penalties, and fines are being introduced for anybody who I guess, takes advantage of these of these benefits and violates amortization requirements or benefits, you know, sort of falsely benefits from them. So that's the fines here is $1 million dirhams. And furthermore, the sort of one of the fines is that the parties basically have to return any benefits received from these false claims. And you know why it's even more serious is that employers cannot pass these costs onto employees. So this again, as I prefaced it, it's not a space that I necessarily have seen very much. I haven't seen these kinds of offenses, but based on the law, I can only I can speculate sort of what kind of shenanigans exist out there in terms of employment practices. And it seems that some companies will, let's say, hire UAE nationals and receive the benefits for these UAE nationals and will kind of like split maybe these benefits. And so in these cases, what the law says, it's not enough for those companies to just basically pay the fine and return the benefits. They cannot take the benefits away from the employee. So it's like they will have to pay these benefits out of their own pocket, which just makes it much more significant. And therefore, I guess the goal would be to act as a deterrent from companies engaging in these dubious practices.
Yeah, I mean, it really seems like from everything you're saying, it's about tightening up the law, making it stricter, making it more focused on compliance. And do you think that's more of a... Is that part of a broader trend in the Emirates, do you think?
For sure. And we've seen it with the introduction, obviously, the new employment law and the various decrees and circulars and amendments that came subsequently to the law. And just the overall stance of the various agencies and ministries that are involved, like the Ministry of Labor, the MOHRE, and the courts. So the idea here is just employment cases are supposed to move a lot faster. There's a lot more kind of almost like default procedures that are in place, allowing all parties to resolve cases a lot faster. You know, for example, going through MOHRE. So MOHRE is a lot more involved now in helping parties deal with their disputes, which was not the case in the past. Is any kind of employment case was basically treated the same way, and it all had to go through the same path, and that's going to the court. And the courts obviously take time, and the courts cost money, and it's all very formal. Yeah. Everything has to be done in Arabic. All the submissions have to have some kind of legal justification. So it's a very involved process. So therefore, in many cases in the past, it was, you know, for a lot of people, it was just inaccessible finding this sort of justice, or these disputes became like prohibitively expensive. But now with the introduction of the new law and everything that has followed since, things are a lot more structured, a lot more organized. And now it's employment disputes just last in many, even complex cases. We've had some employment cases that have gone through all three stages all the way to the Court of Cassation within just 1 year. There was a time when our employment cases would last 3 to 5 years. So that kind of gives you a sample of a data point to show how far we've advanced. So yes, it's certainly is all kind of in that direction. And we're seeing this in real time, how these new legislative amendments and new protocols and new authorities are actually working effectively and making a difference.
Logical. This time, the recent changes to the UAE employment law introduced under federal decree, law number 9 of 2024. Thanks for listening and watching if you are with us on YouTube. Thanks as always as well to our legal expert, managing partner at Yarmalova & Plethka. That's Ludmila Yarmalova. Thanks for sharing, Ludmila.
Thank you, Tim. Always a pleasure to be speaking with you.
Find us across social media, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast, our website. Lots and lots of UAE-centric legal information. You can listen to hundreds of podcasts there for free as well. And if you'd like a legal question answered by a qualified UAE experienced legal professional or by Ludmila herself in an episode of Logical, just head to lylawyers.com and click on the contact button.